Welcome back to Who's Running for Philly Mayor. I'm KYW City Hall Bureau Chief Pat Loeb. I've had conversations with all of the major Democratic candidates who hope to become mayor in previous episodes. In this one, I speak with three of the men who held the job and what it takes to do it: Bill Green, Wilson Good, and Ed Rendell. We chose those three of the five living former mayors because John Street is working directly for one of the candidates and Michael Nutter has his own platform for discussing the race. We begin with Ed Rendell, who, since our interview, has endorsed former city controller Rebecca Reinhart. But you'll hear him praise all five of the major candidates. You'll also hear him talk about the current mayor and share his recollection of a day during his tenure that shows how terribly difficult it is to be mayor. He starts by talking about what it takes.
Well, first of all, you've got to be smart enough to do the job. You don't have to be the smartest person in the city of Philadelphia. In fact, you wouldn't want the smartest person as mayor. But they've got to be smart enough to understand the myriad issues that come before them and make decisions. I wasn't the smartest guy in the room, not even in City Hall. David Cohn was the smartest guy. But I had the sense to lean on him for advice and lean on a lot of my people for advice. And you need someone who's smart enough to understand complex problems, number one. Number two, you need someone who's got the, I don't want to say charisma because it's not necessarily charisma, but who's got the ability to set goals for whatever political subdivision it is for the city, and make them ambitious goals, and then have the ability to sell the citizens on those goals. Sometimes when the citizens have to make short-run sacrifices to achieve those goals. I mean, one of the best things we did in 1992 when I took over with the huge deficit was we explained to the citizens that we were broke. We didn't have any money, and that everyone was going to have to take a hit. But if we all took a hit and all tightened our belt, I promised them that before my 4 years as mayor were over, we'd be putting new additional revenue into things that we had to cut. And I never forget my third week as mayor. HYY had selected like 17 people from 17 interest groups, Friends of the Park, Library Board, FOP. And I sat there and answered questions from the interest group. Well, it was interesting. Everyone made their case for more money. The Recreation Commission Advisory Board. Mayor, our recreation centers are in terrible shape. They need bulking up. They're the only thing that keep our children off the street. I said, you know what? You're right. We should spend more money on our recreation department. But we can't. There just isn't any money. Then I called on the next group, and it was Friends of the Library. Mayor, 25 out of our 50 libraries. I said, boy, you're right. But we just don't have any money and we can't print money. And I literally did that 17 times. It took 2 hours and 30 minutes. And I think that was the day that we won the battle to convince the public that we had to cut spending and try to become more efficient. And I was very lucky. Things went well. Sometimes it was luck. Sometimes it was the great people I had working for me. Before those 4 years were out, I was able to fulfill my pledge and give all those groups that we cut more money than they had before I became mayor. So it's the ability to make your case to the people and sell your ideas. And then the third thing, and probably the most of all, you've got to have the courage to say no. Everybody wants things for themselves, but nobody wants them in their neighborhood. You've heard of NIMBY, not in my backyard. Well, every group that comes in is a NIMBY group. And even things like supermarkets. People didn't want supermarkets in their neighborhoods. They wanted the supermarket in the next neighborhood over so they could go to the neighborhood shop and then leave the problems behind. There was so much of that that went on. Some people who helped me in the campaign said, you know, you're not doing enough for the libraries. We're going to come down in the City Hall and picket. And I would say to them, look, you guys helped me get elected. I want to be fair to you. Let me check the book, and I'll give you a slot that's open. because we only have a certain amount of room outside the mayor's office, so we can only have one group picket at a time. And I would set up an appointment for them to come in and picket. And I didn't demean them, because most of the requests, most of what people wanted, were legitimate. And had we had the money, I would have loved to have done it. NIMBY was soon joined by two other groups cropped up. NOPE, N-O-P-E, Nowhere on Planet Earth. That was another group. And then there was a third group, the most active of all, was Banana. Build absolutely nothing anywhere near anybody. And you have to have the courage to say no. But a group would come in and they'd want a new gymnasium in their rec center. I'd come back and I'd say, I've got some good news for you. We can't build a new gymnasium, we just don't have the money. But we can buy new equipment. We can buy new trampolines, we can buy a new backboard, etc. And look, there's no sense in a further discussion. I heard you. I did everything I could to meet your demands. And I want you to remember November 4th, 1995, that's when you can vote against me. And the good news is almost nobody did. Because people understood that we did what we had to do. And that's what being a good leader is all about. And when I look at today's candidates, I mean, first of all, let me say this. I think we've got a great group of candidates. We've got Sherelle Parker, who was a brilliant legislator in Harrisburg and did well on city council. Sherelle is a very adept woman. She knows politics very well. Jeff Brown, a real success story, and you've got to admire him. He's willing to give up a lot of money that he's made and trade it all in for worrying about potholes. And there's Helen Gim. To moderate Democrats like myself, Helen Gim can be anathema, because she's ultra progressive. But she really truly believes what she's talking about. And what she's talking about are ideas that are right. But we're not going to have the money to do them. Or we're not going to be able to pass legislation in Harrisburg to allow us to do them. And then Rebecca Reinhart. I met Rebecca Reinhart in January of 2019. She had called me and said, I'm running for controller. Can I come in and see her? And I said, sure. Didn't know much about her. I met her. She was a delightful, committed, and extremely intelligent. I liked her, and I wound up helping her because everyone was riled up about Trump. Women were beginning to feel their oats, and we had never had a woman city controller. And I thought Rebecca would make an interesting candidate. And Rebecca turned out to be a very good candidate. She had countless meetings where she talked to 12 people in a house, and she's done a good job as controller. She's ticked a lot of people off, including the mayor, but that's the job of the controller, to tick the mayor off. And she did a fine job. And I think she'd be a good mayor. And then there's Alan Dom, who's a remarkable guy. Alan Dom is rich enough and successful enough. And by the way, he made every dime himself. With his money, he could buy an island and live the life of Riley. It's not what turns him on. What turns them on is helping people, giving people a shot, giving people an opening to use their skill to make something of their lives like he's done. And Alan is a terrific, and I think he was a great councilman. And I think he'd be a good mayor. I think he could lead by example. And it's tough to choose. And I think that's what I'd do, advise citizens to do, go through the background of the candidates and decide which ones you think have the most intelligence and the most ability to lead by example, and then decide who's got the intestinal fortitude to say no.
How many people were in the race when you ran for mayor?
Six Democrats running and three Republicans running. That was when the Republicans had a chance to win. Frank Rizzo was running as a Republican. Sam Katz was running as a Republican. Very able man, Sam Katz, and he would have made a fine mayor. And there were six Democrats. Myself, Peter Hearn, a very bright lawyer, George Burrell, a terrific councilman, Lucian Blackwell, a great councilman, Jim White, who had been the city controller, and I was in there. And I'll tell you about the ability to say no. The race was, according to the polls, pretty close between Councilman Burrell, Councilman Blackwell, and myself. And Peter Hearn had a chance, too. We had a debate. There were six of us. And the last question the moderator asked, will you take a strike if it's necessary to get city spending under control. Now, the luck had it, I was the last one to answer that question. My five opponents, all of whom were terrific, all of them said, no, that's not going to be necessary because I can deal with the union, I can persuade them. Came my time. Like my colleagues here, I would try to make the union see the light and reach a compromise contract which will produce the savings we need to survive as a city. But let me be clear about something. If it takes a strike to set the city on the right path, I'll take it. And if that means that your garbage isn't going to get collected, as your mayor, I'm going to be in the garbage transfer stations helping take your garbage off out of your car, and I think I won the election right then and there. Because people understood the gravy train had ended and someone needed to get in there and say no. And we're facing a lot of the same problems. And let me say one other thing. I want to say a word about Mayor Kenney. He's gotten a lot of grief from people, and people have said he doesn't do this, he doesn't do this. Well, number one, don't tell me that Jim Kenney doesn't care about the city of Philadelphia. He cares very deeply, and he cares almost too much, and the frustrations he feels in not being able to take care of all our problems, those frustrations are what make him so unhappy at times. Everyone said when I took over as mayor that we took the city from its worst crisis ever, its worst budget deficit ever, its worst people were leaving, everyone had lost hope in the city. And that was true. But think of what Jim Kenney faced, none of which were his doing. A pandemic, a tremendous upheaval about policing, and tremendous upheaval, not of Jim Kenney's making. Budget deficits, again, handed to Jim Kenney when he took over. I think that Jim Kenney has done some really good things, which he doesn't get any credit for, sometimes because he doesn't know how to take credit. But I think Jim Kenney was a good man, and I think he worked hard, and his inability to bring about change caused by these things that he had no control over have eaten him alive. I hope some people come up to him after he's no longer mayor and say, I know it was tough. Thanks for trying. And now it's become fashionable in our country to beat up on politicians. And we have some politicians who don't give a damn about helping people, who are in it for themselves. But we have people who care very deeply about the city and would like to make it better. Sometimes they're frustrated. Sometimes they don't do the right thing. Sometimes they make mistakes, because God knows we all make mistakes. But I think that you got to distinguish between people who care and people who are willing to try, and give them a little leeway. Try to put yourself in their shoes. It's very difficult. I mean, I never knew how difficult mayor would be. And I'll never forget a night that about 7 o'clock, I was about ready to go to my next speech, and I was interrupted by a call. A police officer had been shot. So I climbed into my car and drove out to the hospital. And I didn't know the police officer, and I never met his family. But all of a sudden, you're the representative of 1.5 million people, and you've got to try to make that family understand why that they might have to sacrifice the police officer's very life. And it's a debilitating chore, and you wait while the officer's in surgery, and you try to say something to comfort the family. But you can't. There's nothing that works. You have to talk to sometimes their kids. I'll never forget, one of my jobs that I got assigned that night was talking to the kids of this officer. And he made it. He survived the surgery. He was never served in the police force again, and he had serious injuries that affected him to this day. But he survived. So your emotions are just, there's a great rush of relief. And I felt that great rush of relief about 11:30 midnight. And then the call came in, another officer had been shot. I went to a hospital the other side of town in Northwest Philly, and this officer's family was there, and his three children were there. Finally, after about 2 hours, they took the two youngest children home, and his oldest son, Bobby, stayed around. And I wound up spending time with Bobby and trying to get his mind off what had happened. And then news came from the doctor that they couldn't save Bobby's father. And somehow his mother talked to Bobby, but they asked me to talk to Bobby. I did the best I could. But on nights like that, it's a horrible job. And you feel so powerless. You wish you could turn back time. You wish you could do something to make it all the day before today. But you can't. And there's nothing you can really say to the kids, to the wife, to the husband, to the brother, to the son, to the daughter. It's a tough job being mayor in a big city, in any big city, because every big city in this country has got similar problems. We're all racked with too much violence. Guns are too prevalent. We all have some poverty levels of significant size. And what's worse, there's poverty level in these cities, but there's also parts of the city that are doing great. And a young man grows up and says to himself, why me? Why am I dirt poor? Can't even buy a Mickey Mouse watch, and other people walk around with fancy jewelry. There's no good answer to it. And you try, and you win some victories, and you lose some important fights, and you got to pick yourself up and go on.
Ed Rendell was mayor from 1992 to 2000. Former Mayor Wilson Good does not endorse candidates, period, but he was willing to share advice for whichever one wins.
What you need to be mayor is look for as many people as you can find who are smarter than you are, and surround yourself with smart people and put them in your key position. And start out by sitting down with them and develop a 100-day plan. And that is the things that you want to do in the first 100 days and what you want to get done for the city. And use them not only to do what you tell them to do, but to bring to you ideas on what it is they believe should happen in the city. And because none of them has been in the mayor's office, try and find people also that have had experience in city government or in city council so that you can know something about the operation of the city. But initially, what you need to do is just lay out for them what you want to do as mayor. It is important that you put in your mind what your priorities are. Strangely enough, my number one priority when I became mayor was graffiti. Back in 1983, one of the top problems facing the city was graffiti. You could not build a new building in the city unless someone did some marking on. And so I recruited a young man from Mantua named Tim Spencer. We established the anti-graffiti network that worked to get graffiti writers from writing on building, and then out of that grew the mural arts program. That was key in terms of turning that whole thing around. And since that time, there's not been the kind of massive graffiti writing in the city that took place then.
So it's good to have a plan, but there's always the unexpected. You faced AIDS. You had to react to an illness that was claiming a lot of lives in the city.
Yes, you have to expect the unexpected. And AIDS was unexpected at that time. But what you do in that instance is that you go to people who are interested in helping to solve the problem. And one of the people that I relied on was David Fair. And David Fair and I met in my office on Sunday morning. And keep in mind, I'm an active churchgoer. And in that office, we met with the health commissioner on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock when I should have been in service, and constructed the AIDS Activity Coordinating Office. And out of that came the movement that took place in the city since that time on AIDS. And I think that it was a major movement that took place. But it was anti-graffiti, it was graffiti rather, and it was AIDS. It was also literacy. That one of the things I read when I was running for mayor was that 40% of the adults in the city could not read above the fourth grade level. And what I did at that time, I recruited Marcine Madelman from Temple University, who became head of that office. And so we set up the first program in the country in a mayor's office on literacy. The other problem facing the city also was housing. We set up a number of programs to work on trying to get housing done. So the idea here is that you have to develop not only the concept of what you want to do, but you have to find the right people to do it. And you have to get to work right away. You don't wait 12 months into your administration. You start out in the first 100 days. So in the first 100 days, you go out and try and set up as many programs as you can. And so you have at least 4 years to work on what you're trying to do. So you have to spend the first 100 days.
Well, there seems to be pretty general agreement among this crop of candidates that public safety is the big issue. What advice would you give on the issue of public safety?
What they all need to know is to find someone who's a public safety expert, search a country and find someone to bring in to do that, because none of them is qualified to do it. So you find someone who know a lot more about the subject matter than you know, and you give them authority to go out and do something and get something done. I think that many people believe that it's from the mayor's brain that all these ideas come. These ideas really come from people who work for the mayors. And I think that when you can get smart people around you, experts around you, you can get it done. I'm not sure that the crop of people out there now have thought through clearly as they can as to who will do it. So they all should be thinking now, who can I find that can help me solve the problem of violence in the city? Where are they now? And they should be, even before the primary, they should be searching the country, getting lists of names, because the time between the primary and the general election is something which is not going to be easy. So you need to find those people now. So start your search for the people that you want now. And even they will know that they may not end up there, but if you can find them, identify them, you save yourself a lot of time come November of 2024.
Do you think you might make an endorsement in this race?
I will definitely not make an endorsement in this race.
Okay. But when you look at the field, what strikes you about the candidates, either to recommend them or not?
There are some that I would not recommend, and there are others who I think have great potential to do a great job as mayor. That's important that you have a field of people, some who I believe know how to develop an agenda, know how to set priorities, who know how to manage people. Keep in mind, all those things are important, that the mayor has to also be a manager and also has to be able to set priorities.
So you think there are some good choices in the race and maybe some less good?
There are people in the race who should not be in the race.
Okay.
There are people out there who should never have run for mayor and will not win. And thank God for that.
But there are
who they are.
Okay. But the voters definitely, they needn't fear that, like, there's no one in the field that can run the city.
I think that based upon the polls I've seen thus far, voters got it about right in my book in terms of the people who, if they were elected, could do the job.
Is there anything you'd like to add? Just observations you've made over the years about what works and what doesn't?
Just two things. Number one, people should run for mayor because they believe that they can run the city in an efficient and effective way. Too many people, and some who are out there now, are running for mayor because they just want to be mayor and because it's good to not be in council anymore and move on to the second floor and get off the floor they're on and just go do something differently. And really should not ever become mayor. And for some of them to become mayor, the city would be a disaster. And I think people should think about how they can be an efficient and effective mayor and what they would do and think through. Now, I've talked to many of the candidates. Only two or three of those I've talked to have indicated to me anything about what they would do if they were mayor. The others have talked to me about strategy to win. Before you think about a strategy to win, you have to think about a strategy to have an effective administration. Because winning without an effective strategy for running the government and getting effective things done and dealing with crime and things like that, you need to think about that first and start to talk to experts now about what you are to do. I don't believe that most of them have done that.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you again for giving me your time today. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you so very much.
Wilson Good served as mayor from 1984 to 1992. Bill Green served just one term as mayor from 1980 to 84. He says the most important quality for a mayor is being honest.
Telling the truth, facing reality. If we had a hallmark when I was mayor, it was giving the bad news before the good news. Because there is bad news, and let's not pretend there isn't. This they say, and I guess it's the fact, is the poorest big city in the country, big city being of a population more than a million. Now, if you just take that as a fact, and it is, that's not easy. How do you deal with that? How does a place that is poor find the resources to help the most needy who live in that city? And I found that it was important to not sweep the truth under the rug. Every time we did that, things only got worse. And we've been doing that for a long time. And I said the day I was sworn in that the price of neglect would have to be paid and the payment may not come easy. And it didn't. And I had to raise taxes. I had to lay people off. In the end, I stabilized the financial condition of the city, healed a lot of the racial tensions that existed, and had a government that was clean, efficient, brought in professional, able people. Part of it is assembling a really good team. And nobody does this by themselves. I certainly couldn't have, and I know no one else could. So you get a great team, you tell the truth, you don't hide the difficulties under the rug, you address them even if it's painful, even if it makes you unpopular at times in doing so, which I think at times it hurt me politically from that point of view. But I wasn't in it for some kind of like lifelong. One of the problems with public life today is too many people stay in it for too long, long past what should have been their bedtime. And I didn't do that. When I had done what I set out to do, and because my family needed me, I left.
What had you set out to do that you were able to get done in 4 years?
End the racial division, have a government that was open, honest, truthful with the people, improve the schools, improve the relationship with Washington, which was so hostile. We were the only city in the country when I became mayor that was not eligible for the UDAG grants, urban development grants. Because there have been people saying vote white, the city was being punished. And straightening out that whole situation, in addition to all the financial problems, was a challenge that I understood was coming, welcomed, and dealt with successfully.
Yeah, you followed Frank Rizzo, who I guess had done a good job of alienating a lot of people.
He did. And, I'm not out. For the first, I don't know how many months that I was mayor, whenever I had a press conference, the question was always, well, isn't that Rizzo's fault? Isn't that Rizzo's fault? Isn't that Rizzo's fault? What good was pointing the finger of blame instead of, pointing the path to the future? And I kept saying, to the point where the press finally stopped asking me that, because I would say every time they said it, we have too much to look forward to look back. We have too much to look forward to look back. And honestly, I'm very proud of what I did. And my time in public life was the most interesting, the most interesting, enjoyable days of my, not that it wasn't difficult, not that it wasn't challenging, but, President Truman used to say he was the decider. And you get to decide. You decide what's going to happen. You decide there's going to be a new convention center. You decide where it's going to be located. You decide what it's going to include, the train shed or no train shed. Now, I didn't do it alone, and there was consultation with the communities, including Chinatown and others, and there was committees formed to examine the various sites where it may be located, and eventually that all started under me.
This has been really fun, walking down memory lane with you. So thank you so much.
Okay, Pat.
Bill Green was the 94th mayor of Philadelphia, Wilson Good the 95th, and Ed Rendell the 96th. With just one episode left before the primary, we'll turn our attention to the city council at large race.
The challenge at large is running almost like a mini mayor's race without all of the fanfare and also not with all the resources.
That's next time on Who's Running for Philly Mayor. I'm KYW City Hall Bureau Chief Pat Loeb. Thank you for listening.